Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Charney.
And I'm Shay Northrup.
Today we're going to be talking about the Note 8 and the iPhone 7, a clear LCD screen, an electronic cat, and Time Warner and AT&T. So we're going to jump straight in it to my co-host, Shay Northrup.
So we're here to clear up the saga that has been the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 scandal? I guess what's been going on, as you've heard from the past, they've been blowing up and that sort of thing, and they're finally done with it. It's finally been discontinued. And we were kind of wondering last week, we were left wondering, okay, so what are they officially going to do? Are they going to bring back the Note 8? Are they going to ditch the brand? What's the plan for their recalls? So we have all the information here, and we can finally put the Galaxy Note 7 story to rest.
Possibly.
Possibly. We'll see what happens in the near future. Now, the Note 7 owners in South Korea who trade in their phones for a Galaxy S7 will be able to trade automatically up next year to their S8 or Note 8.
So for free?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, I'm not sure if that's for Britain or the United States or anywhere else. It just says South Korea.
My personal feeling, that's home country only. They're a South Korean company.
Right.
So I could see them doing that. I could see them, however, going through AT&T and Verizon, say, look, there's something we can do. Let's work something out. But I don't see them doing it straight up that way, like they would there.
Right. Now, the Note 7 is permanently discontinued, and the cause of the problem is still unknown. Although I think we kind of debunked it ourselves. Yeah. I think the problem is obvious, but
it's hardware.
What do we know? And so Samsung is both financially and it's financially going to be hurting from this. They're going to be taking a toll, and I mean, they're kind of hoping that the Note 8 doesn't have such a bad name. Now, I know, like, I don't know about for you, but whenever I see somebody with a Samsung phone, I'm like, careful there, buddy.
Yeah, don't
you
get
a live grenade.
Exactly.
Single time, though, they like roll their eyes and they're like, it's the older one.
Well, we had a story last week where they lost $17 million off their market. Was it their market share? Totally.
Yeah.
Last week. So their biggest problem, though, is, like you said, is every time I see a Samsung, I'm making jokes about it. Well, like one of my friends have it, say, you know, hey, do me a favor. Put it a little closer from the thing that'll explode. Will you?
So farther. I guess it's one of those things, too, where I think the joke will go away pretty soon.
See, I don't think it will. I actually think... let me rephrase this. It depends on when they release the Note 8. If they release it for anywhere from 6 to 8 months from now, I think it's going to stay on for a while. This potentially could haunt them for a while.
Right.
Especially considering this burned down people's houses, this hurt children, this hurt women and adults. And the story has some legs. Now, it really depends on how well they take care of the customers that bought the phones.
Right. Like, it also depends on how much people care. I'm not so certain, at least in my circles, almost nobody is talking about it.
I think the problem is the vocal minority, that being geeks. And, you know, when you burn geeks, no pun intended, they have a tendency to be extremely vocal about it. Now, a lot of geeks love Android and love Google and love the Note 7, but it really depends on how bad they burned the geek community. This potentially could really destroy the brand.
I would argue that the geek community doesn't matter as much to them. I think they're more concerned about average Joe consumer.
Well, here's the reason I say it does. Now, how would I say it? So say that the vocal community really hated Windows 8, the geek community. I ran into Ma and Pa Kettle in stores and friends of mine, and they were saying, oh, Windows 8.1 is horrible. I stuck with Vista or 7. And the problem is the rest of the world listens to the vocal minority. But they don't have the reasons why, say, I would hate Windows Vista versus, say, if Shay wasn't a tech guy. They
right.
don't know the in-depth and me being particularly picky about it.
I think Windows 8 is a different situation entirely just because it was built for a touchscreen. And not all of the models that they released were touchscreen.
Well, yeah. So you and I know that. But Ma and Pa Kettle, my parents, your parents, but, like, wouldn't necessarily, parents, understand that.
They would see that the start menu is this new big window, and that annoyed them.
But if they heard you complaining about it, wouldn't that kind of temper their opinion about it, even if they didn't have like an in-depth reason why they don't like it? Now, a lot of the times, Ma and Pa Kettle, for example, they'll listen to us, geek community, but they don't necessarily get the reason why we don't like it.
And, well, but then you get like a huge crowd of people, like those teen girls, right, that just buy the phones based on their looks or popularity.
Well, that'll always happen. I think that the question is it going to go viral because it's the new Note 7, or is it going to go viral because, oh, that's horrible?
Right. Well, it's just like the Chromebook. The geek community hates the Chromebook. I honestly think it's harmless, but we still have a bunch of college students and high school students that are using and love the Chromebook. I think even some schools are issuing out Chromebooks to their students.
They have. I've actually talked to a lot of people who their schools either require them or they're buying them for the kids because they're like $200 computers.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing, and this is the only thing, the reason I don't like the Chromebook, is sometimes when you buy them in stores, people don't explain you the difference. The fact this is pretty much an online computer. It has some built-in storage. There's no software other than what Google has for it. Really?
That happened to my parents. They bought my dad a Chromebook because it was $200. And then, like, they just gave it to my sister because he realized that he couldn't do anything he wanted with it. And I'm like, this is why you need to come to me about your computer things, because I could have told you what computer to get.
And that's my major problem, is sometimes the people in the stores, no matter what store, could be a big box store, could be a small store, they don't necessarily explain it. And as a geek, that makes me mad, because I'm a true believer, if you give the consumer enough information, they'll make the decision that's best for them.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things, too, that's actually kind of interesting, is you can get a reasonable laptop for $200 on Amazon with 4 gigabytes of RAM and a solid state drive with up to, I think, 120 gigabytes. It's not a lot, but like, it's actually pretty decent specs if you want something just a little bit better than a Chromebook.
Yeah, and it's not high end though. It's not like a Core i7. Oh, you're going to be able to be rendering video on it, but it's enough to do homework. It's enough to surf the web. It's enough to do YouTube videos,
podcasts.
Yeah. And that's the other thing I think that we as the geek community have to educate people of, at least a little bit, is what they're looking for. If somebody's like, want to do hardcore video editing and this and that, you're going to need an i7 versus somebody who wants to just surf the internet. You know, an Atom processor is perfect. And I think that's the one thing that we the geek community need to help explain to people. Like, your computer purchases need to suit your needs.
Right. Well, and another thing, too, is I really don't think AMD is as bad of a processing company as some people give them credit for. And I think that's something that I'd like to let people
know. Oh, no. It really depends. I mean, I've always been kind of an Intel fanboy. Yes, I know.
Intel has the consistency going for them.
You know, and I do think the question to get back on the Note 7 thing and the Note 8 is, they're going to have to be, I think, more than consistent on the phone. I think I don't think it has to be, but I think it has to be a solid phone. There can't be, within the first 6 months, cannot be any issues with it, like lighting a house on fire type of issues.
Right. No burning down cars.
I think that's the only thing that's going to save, not the Galaxy brand, but the Note brand. I think the Note brand itself is on the edge.
I think Samsung is good, though. Like, I think usually most people know Samsung as being the best for TV, the best for washing machines, the best for this, the best for that. So a lot of people, I don't think, are going to really stop buying Samsung products.
I don't think so either. I do think, though, but for the first time in a long time, there's going to be doubt in it.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, people are going, let's get the Samsung washer. But wasn't there that washer that got... that explodes?
Right.
I think this is a thing they're going to have to work on, and as a brand, is reassure everybody that, you know, faults happen, mm-hmm. but we're the best because of A, B, C, and D. And I think if they can do that, I think they're still going to be king of Android phones. Because, you know, it's really Android versus Apple.
I really feel like LG is definitely coming up as a major competitor for them.
Oh, no, I agree. The only thing I think is weird about the LG phones, and this is a personal preference, is where their volume buttons are and where the power button is.
I actually really like that for some reason.
See, that would drive me nuts. Like, the phone particularly that I think is interesting, if you look at the LG Stylo 2, it's about the same size as the Note, but you've got a big phone, and you got the power button right in the middle. And for some guy like me who has massive hands, it's not a problem. But I could see some people with smaller mitts having issues of hitting that power button.
I know, like, one of the things that I like about them is they typically make smaller phones that are really inexpensive.
And they have decent quality for the size.
Oh, definitely. And you can put, like, the Android operating system into almost anything. Like, I've heard of tablets in Japan that are, like, literally, like, $5. They're really, really crappy internal hardware, but you can get Android to run on them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it has a very low overhead, and with the licensing Google has, you can do whatever you really want with it. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to hit a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about a potential problem for the iPhone 7.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. Now, we have got a flaming hot story over here for you guys.
Oh, that hurt just listening to that intro, man. So, unfortunately, Samsung's not the only people who have problems with their phones blowing up. The iPhone 7 bursts into flames and destroys a vehicle and somebody's pants, believe it or not. A South Coast surfer says his iPhone 7 burst into flames and destroyed his car. Matt Jones says he left his phone under clothes in his car while taking a surfing lesson. When he returned, he was shocked to discover the vehicle was smoking. And when the news report said the iPhone 7 was a hot commodity, they weren't saying this hot.
Oh, man. There's a fire in our pants and it's not the Samsung Galaxy Note 7.
The question here is, this is actually the first I've heard of an iPhone exploding, at least the iPhone 7.
There are three cases of this right now?
We actually have some of the pictures with us. I actually printed out this so I could show my co-host and... It's completely destroyed. It's not like, oh, the phone was on fire. It was more like, oh, my God, the phone was on fire.
It's just as bad as the Note. Like, if not worse, like, I don't know, maybe worse? Like, the pictures I always saw of the Note, they were kind of intact. For the iPhones, it's just like you're looking at charred ashes.
You know, Apple's always kind of the big go, big, was it go big or go home?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's true.
So...
like, you should see the picture for the the car. Like, go ahead and Google it because it burned through the seat.
So yeah, let me try to describe it here as best I can. So what it is, it looks like you have a front seat of vehicle. There's a shifter in front, and it's a passenger seat and driver's seat. And the middle two where the console would be is completely destroyed. And the closer you get to the doors, the more in shape, you know, the more they actually look like a seat. And it's completely charred.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Now, the question is, it on the risk of being punny, was it like Jeep Cherokee, like the one that destroyed the Android, like the one the Note 7 destroyed?
Oh, I don't know. It's just, I think this is really interesting. I think, you know, does the iPhone 7 use a lithium ion battery?
It's pretty much common throughout all cell phones right now. And see, that was actually the one of the things, the reason I brought this up, especially for you, the audience, are you worried now with the rash of things with lithium ion batteries exploding within the previous decade? Because, like we mentioned before, there's been laptops.
Yep.
There's been cell phones. it's just a matter of time before these portable chargers go AWL on you and light your house on fire. So, I mean, what do you think, Shay?
I think this is very interesting. I think it's getting really hard to determine which... like, Apple has said that they're looking into this complaint, which is something they always say. I don't know if Apple's going to do anything about it. They haven't been known to do anything about problems with their stuff.
Well,
but
I think the first thing, just like I bet Samsung did, is they have to figure out, was this something the guy did or is this something that
right.
the phone did? Because one of the things with cell phones people do a lot is they'll take it to Ma and Pa Kettle's cell phone repair store. The guy will replace the screen. Now, the question is the gentleman who did that, does the guy know what he's doing? Because you can do things wrong and it looks fine and you can probably cause batteries to explode. I would not doubt if you're not careful.
I'm just kind of concerned about, like, didn't the iPhone 7 just come out?
It did. Literally just came out.
I'd be really surprised if people are already... Well, I guess not. If people are already breaking their phones.
Yeah, and it was the one thing I was worried about because I have a release day 6 Plus. And that was the one thing I was worried about with such a giant phone, especially being Apple's first giant phone, was it going to be bending issues? And I've never had issues, but like I said in the previous episodes, always buy an OtterBox or equivalent case. I realize it's big and not exactly cute, but it will save you from epic failure and sadness later.
Oh, definitely. Now, this is kind of something where it's like, so where's the public going to turn to for their phones now if you can't trust the 7 and you can't trust the iPhone?
See, I think that the difference, I think, between an Apple fanboy and a Samsung fanboy is Apple people don't care. I have literally
That's
never...
That's very true.
I have never met anybody who's a true Apple fanboy, and I would... And as much as I hate to say that, I would probably be in the mix a little bit because I own a combination of Apple products and Microsoft products and so forth. They're better than a lot of products. Hardware-wise, Apple is still number one in my opinion because of the way they do it. The design, their hardware, then the design, the operating system go on top of that hardware.
They're definitely a design company that uses hardware to their advantage.
Here's my favorite description of it. Apple is a lifestyle company.
Yeah, that's definitely the thing. The thing is you mean with Apple fanboys, you're going to end up with the phone will be on fire in their pockets and people will be like, hey, dude, you're smoking. And they'll just be like, nah, it's good.
It's all good. It's just my Note 7. Yeah, I see. That's the thing is I think Samsung people, I don't necessarily believe they have loyalty to the brand like no. Apple fans do. And that it's actually something that is quite admirable, in my opinion, is to have you like the brand so much.
Oh, no, I know. Like, I see this in film all the time. Like, I have my supercomputer, right, which I can edit up to 4K on. Like, slowly with 4K, I try not to touch it. But I'll have, like, Apple people who have had their MacBooks since 2012, and they're still just like, yeah, my MacBook's better. It's a Mac. And I'm just like, but the specs. No, it's a Mac. It's better.
Well, in some respects, they're not... hold on. Is this a desktop or is this a laptop?
This is their MacBook. The laptop.
Okay, I was going to say, in some respects, if you're talking about just the looks and the design and the build of it, they're not necessarily wrong. But if they're talking about doing 4K video on a 2012 laptop, there's no chance that thing's going to be able to touch 4K with any remote.
Exactly.
You're literally, what you'll be doing is you'll be watching it, you'll be hitting play, counting to 20 as it loads, trying to trim it. It will take you forever to do anything.
Really, you shouldn't edit 4K video in 4K anyway. What you should do is make proxies. So essentially what proxies are is you re-encode the 4K footage as HD, or even some people go so far as to dumb it down to SD. And
wow.
Then you use those files to edit. And then later on, you take the sequence and you relink all of the files to the original 4K files.
Oh, okay. That actually makes a lot of sense. Now, I don't know. I can't believe an iPhone 7 exploded. I do wonder what's causing these issues.
I think it's the lithium ion battery as part of it. And then I think it's connection issues because I think the connectors are kind of definitely a problem in this.
Now, I've always heard, I don't 100% know this. I've always heard lithium ion was somewhat unstable anyways. One of the reasons why if you actually open up a battery, they're usually in separated segments within inside of that battery.
Right.
Generally, you never really get a giant block full of lithium ion.
Like, one of the things that you'll notice, too, is if you ever order anything with a lithium ion battery from the interwebs, like any website or anything, they will put this this package may explode.
It's pretty funny. In previous jobs I've had over the years, there'll be like a pallet of like, say, cell phone chargers, and the whole pallet will say on every individual box, warning may explode, and you're thinking, this is going to be interesting if it explodes.
Yeah. So that's just one of those things that I think is kind of like an interesting deal.
Now, I am kind of wondering from a personal perspective is how are they going to fix this? I mean, not the phones, you know, example, because, you know, Samsung will survive. Apple will always survive. But what are we as consumers going to demand? Because there's got to be a better technology that's, for example, not as dangerous and not as toxic. Who do we talk to and saying, hey, we need you guys to invest more money in battery technology? Do we look at Elon Musk?
I think what we might end up having to do is just more government regulations.
It's got to be something. I mean, I'm not a big fan of that. But if the government pushes people to say, hey, you need to improve battery technology, because if battery technology improves, and I want battery technology, by the way, without rare earth metals, if we're able to improve that, cars are going to get better, like hybrids, and go actual full electrics. That's the thing I want the most.
And it looks like we're coming up on a break. When we get back, we will talk about a robot cat companion for the elderly and a very interesting LCD screen. So stick around.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be.
Welcome back to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. And Shay has an interesting story about a companion cat.
Yes, so Hasbro has released a robotic cat which has been designed to be a companion pet for the elderly. So it moves, meows, and even purrs the way the company says mimics a real-life animal.
So maybe it's just me, but you mentioned Hasbro and robotics. Does it transform into anything?
No, it does not. And no, it doesn't have a G.I. Joe label slapped on it or guns or anything. Usually Hasbro stuff is a little violent, huh?
It is. This is the first thing I've seen at Hasbro that actually looks gentle and nice. And there's a video attached to this that you can find. It's from the BBC, and it's both delightful and somewhat disturbing.
So it's essentially a cat. It can blink its eyes, and it has sensors on its back and its neck and above its head where, like, it knows when you're petting it, it purrs, and it's all of the bonuses of having a cat, say cuddling and all of that stuff without the crazy getting mad at you after you pet it for a little bit and batting you with its claws.
Now, to get back to a story we said earlier, does it have lithium-ion batteries?
They do not describe the batteries that this thing takes. I'm assuming AA because that's kind of Hasbro's like go-to.
Because can Kitty explode?
That would be kind of funny.
I mean,
now, I don't know about you, but I am not a cat person.
I'm not really a cat person. I mean, I like animals in general. I'm more of a dog person.
I'm the same way.
I do, however, think this is a great idea. Now, what they're marketing this as, like as my co-host said, is they're saying for elderly people, people with dementia, or people who just need help. For example, what this is supposed to do is it is supposed to stimulate your brains, just, you know, supposed to lighten your mood, just have something to talk to pet with, to play with.
Well, and I don't think this is the first time Hasbro has released stuff like this. Were they the ones that were behind the Fur Real Friends?
I have no idea.
There was a toy line that came out around when my little sister was a kid. And it was like Fur Real Friends, and they were like dogs and cats that would like walk around and yip and do all kinds of things.
See, I remember vaguely stuff like that when I was a kid.
this seems to be a little bit more technologically advanced. And again, it's aimed towards people who can't afford to take care of animals themselves.
See, I had a thought, and this is a little bit of a sidebar. See, didn't have, when I was a kid, you know, Sherman set the Wayback Machine. When I was a kid back in the 80s and early 90s, there was a toy that I loved called the Teddy Ruxpin. That was something similar to this that was done by Hasbro and Worlds of Wonder. Pretty much what it is, it was a teddy bear that talked. You put cassettes in there and it would tell a story. This is very similar to this, but on a more basic level. There's no story time. It's basically just, like he said, it blinking, meowing, purring. It acts cute at one point and lays on its back and wants belly rubs, which no cat really wants unless it really wants to attack you.
Yeah. Now, I think it's kind of an interesting like idea. I think this could be marketed towards kids whose parents won't let them have pets as well. And it kind of reminds me vaguely of the novel The Android's Dream of Electric Sheep, in which you can get robotic animals that are essentially the same as a real animal, just not real.
See, you just said something that I never thought of. You know, parents would, because it's roughly $100.
Yeah, it's only $100.
You know, so my thought was, you know, say if your kid really wants a pet, you'd get him this at first and see if he destroys kitty or if he's really good with it. If he's really good with it, down the line, you get him an actual cat. It's not a bad, you know, it's only $100.
Well, and I think one of the things that's kind of interesting, too, about it is if you live in, like, apartments, you can't have animals. And that sort of thing. So it's good for people that live in the cities.
Don't some apartments allow you to do cats? You just have to pay the cat tax.
Yeah, a lot of times there is a pet deposit. It's usually like $400.
That's actually a lot of money. Now we're going to switch over to something interesting. This is a technology that I first saw in CES 4 or 5 years ago. What it is it's a clear LCD screen with a touch panel. Now, this one is a little bit different than the one I saw. This screen uses the latest OLED technology, which is organic light emitting diode technology, where each pixel lights itself rather than being lit from behind. Pretty much what it is it's touch screen, but it's also thin enough so you could put it on a table. Mm. And, you know, it lights up, it does things, but imagine instead of having a waiter or a waitress, the menu is actually part of the table, you know, and you can select what you want, you interact with it, imagine, or a gaming table at a bar.
Yeah, that's something that I kind of thought would be kind of interesting. You could play like virtual chess or, you know, like that sort of thing. I remember when Pac-Man used to be like they used to have a Pac-Man that would be top down.
Yeah.
So it was like a table. And I think that would kind of be a cool concept for like bar games that you can like sit and play games on the little thing and while drinking your beer.
And my other idea was, imagine having a work of art on a wall, you know, say about 47 inches. And instead of having traditional glass, you have a Panasonic clear LCD screen on it. Hmm. So what you do is your TV's built in and you hit a button. Instead of seeing your favorite work of art, boom, you've got the news.
Well, and then there was other things where, like, they in the original, like, video, it shows, like, a cabinet. So you could, like, slide it open and grab stuff from the other side, but then it would turn into a TV.
No, the demo I saw in CES years ago, what it was basically a cabinet with a wine glass and a wine bottle in it. And what it was is basically, it was like a wine list for a restaurant, for example. And it would say, okay, do you want a Cabernet? You click on the Cabernet, it would give you a list. You click on that, and over the bottle, it would give a list of, you know, people's reviews or the prices. And this was really cool. I mean, and back then it was a fairly small, maybe 8.5 by 11 screen. And the screens we've seen on the video exactly are huge.
Like 30 inches.
They're 30 inches or higher.
Yeah.
And so this is a technology that I think could have great applications. I mean, imagine you doing a skyscraper with this.
Right. Well, and it's interesting. It reminds me of, remember when Samsung did their rollout TV?
No.
They made it like, it was essentially a TV that you could roll up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was the thing that they built. They weren't planning on ever selling it, but they were showing like, hey, look what we can do with like LCD screens these days. Hmm. This kind of reminds me of that. So like kind of a more practical TV that's not just sitting in your house all the time. It's something you can use. I could imagine having like a snake cage with one of these. So you have your snake in the, you know, cage, and then you can have your TV and just put it in the center of your room.
See, you know what I'd love to do with this? Have you heard of a magic mirror?
Yes.
So to you out there, what a magic mirror is you've got an LCD screen, and on top of it is a one-way mirror. And what you do is you usually just use white, but what happens is when the white or the calendar or whatever shows, it goes through the glass. Now imagine doing this, but you do this in combination, having this screen, the organic light emitting screen by Panasonic specifically, and a mirror behind it. You could have a very thin magic mirror versus now they're pretty thick because you have to have an actual television behind it. Usually it's in combination of something like a Raspberry Pi or an Arduino or even a Windows-based computer.
Right.
This is a technology. I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with it. I want it to get cheap enough so I can use it personally.
I think that this is something that, you know, probably won't be a big deal until somewhere down the line. I think they're still experimenting with it. We probably won't see it for probably at least another decade.
See, I'm thinking maybe 2020, 2025 at the earliest that we're going to see this happen. I mean, so I don't know. What do you think? What are any things you think that you could do with this?
I already mentioned what I thought I would do with it. I think that this could be something that could probably be used more commercially.
Like what?
Because as of now.
Because, you know, for me, I'm still trying to think of what I could do with this, you know, besides using, you know, the typical bar stuff. Remember the Microsoft Surface years ago?
No, I don't.
The Microsoft Surface was, excuse my language, was considered the damn big table, because what it was, excuse me, it was basically a touchscreen. It was this huge table, but when you set your phone down and your phone was compatible, it would display all your pictures.
Interesting.
And it would say your contacts. And I'm thinking something like that. Now, imagine if you're at a conference in a business. In a business conference, you set your laptop down or your tablet or your cell phone, and you just say, "Oh, you know, here, Mike, here's the presentation." You just zoom it over there. There's so much.
I feel like some stuff that you don't want popping up might accidentally pop up on that thing.
Oh no, there's definitely potential for. I'm going now.
Yeah,
but this is such a neat technology, and this is technology to me that hasn't really been available in real. Not only has it not been available in real life, it's solely been the realm of sci-fi.
Yeah, it reminds me of it reminds me of Blade Runner a little bit, because you remember how, like, on the skyscrapers they had the
giant
images of people.
Now, see, I'm just really excited, and maybe it seems really weird that I'm kind of giddy about a clear OLED display, but it's stuff like this, and it's the use cases to me that are the most exciting. And ladies and gentlemen, this latest episode of the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast is slowly rolling to an end. But before we end, we want you to take a look at the other things we do at GSMC by going to GSMCpodcast.com. Check out other amazing podcasts. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Stitcher, iTunes, and more. And for Jonathan Charney
and Shane Northrup,
as always, thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.